Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to mine the depths of social media and pull out kind of a fun, you know, scenario case play that we saw. In this case, someone has posted a video in the Softball Umpires Facebook group. David, just describe this play for us.
Yeah,
this is... At a high level, describe the play.
Yeah. So this one's going to be a little bit crazy. So we've got an NC2A ball game going on here.
Yes.
And we have a runner at third base, and a left-handed batter has sharply struck a ball, and that ball was fielded by the first base person, and who immediately stepped on first base to retire the batter runner, and then immediately attempted a throw home that hit the batter runner, who was running in fair territory. And so now there's a lot of discussion on the Facebook group about, is this interference by the batter runner or not?
Yeah. And so in the game, no interference was called. And then the person posting the video and kind of asking the question posted with a reference to NC2A rule 12.17.3.1, which says, whoa, an offensive player who no longer has status, meaning a retired runner or runner who has scored, may not interfere with a defensive player making a play on an active runner. Shouldn't this runner going home have been called out for a retired runner's interference? The call on the field was no call and a live ball.
Yeah, and there were a lot of comments, and we certainly won't call out anybody. You can go look up the post and read who read who wrote what. This one's a tough one. Of course, mm-hmm. None of us are on the field at the time. The umpires that were on the field at the time, you know, I don't know what level of game this is. I don't know if they have any ability to go to replay on this one or not. But so we're not going to talk about that right now. But what we will talk about are some of the comments. You know, there are people saying that we have a running lane violation here.
Yeah, and that one, no, we
that's,
don't.
Yeah, that's a non-starter, right, Pete? Why is that a non-starter?
Yeah, so a running lane interference makes reference to a time when that batter runner might potentially be interfering on a play to first base to get her out. So the running lane only deals with the batter runner going to first base and on that play being made to first base.
Yeah, and very
not any subsequent plays after the
fact. That's right. And very specifically, it has to be interference with the first base player's attempt to catch a thrown ball.
Yeah.
That's what a runner's lane violation has to be on the person playing first base attempting to catch a throw to make the play at first base, and the batter runner interfering with that outside of the running lane.
Yeah, so this is cases of, you know, the ball, it's a bunt, the catcher comes up, throws the ball, nails the runner in the back, right? So had the runner not been there, the first baseman could have caught it. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. And that only takes place, of course, when the runner's last foot down was in fair territory, and so that's the runner's lane deal. Otherwise, she gets hit in the back and she's in the runner's lane, which is marked on the field usually. It's a no call.
That's
being
right.
In fair territory, it's a call. But as we said, that is a play only to first base, not any subsequent play, which is what we had here.
Yeah, that's right. This is really a call about interference by a retired runner. And in NC2A, they call that a runner or a player that has no
status.
Status anymore, right? So anything that had to do with the runner's lane violation, that's a no-go. So then it's about interference. And so some more comments on the Facebook post were about, well, did the batter runner intentionally do it? And again, another non-starter, because interference can be intentional or unintentional. So that really doesn't get it done either. I will tell you, in describing the video, though, I will tell you that it's obvious very, very quickly that, like I said, the ball was hit sharply.
Yes.
And it was hit sharply at the first base player who was playing very close to the bag. Mm-hmm. And I think, Pete, you said in slowing it down and stopping the video that the first base was tagged by the first base player with the ball and thereby generating the out when the batter was one step out of the box.
So the ball was in the first base person's glove and the batter runner was maybe a step or two out of the box. So the ball has been gloved. You can assume the play is going to be made at this point.
Yep.
And so another step or two, there may be two more steps closer by the time the bag was actually touched.
Yep.
But the person kept running.
Yeah, in addition to keeping running, they actually moved into fair territory.
So it wasn't far. Some of the comments were saying that they're three or four steps in. I don't know that that's necessarily the case. But they did they didn't know they would be out probably with a greater than 95% certainty before they were two steps removed from the confines of the box.
Yep.
And then they actually were out another two steps later. And then the person had to turn and throw the ball, in which time they took another two or three steps, all in fair territory, having known all four steps ago that they were out.
They were out, right.
For all intents and purposes.
Yep. So if intent is part of it, some could make a very good argument to say, oh, she intended to interfere. She knew she was out, and yeah. she not only kept running, but she also ran further into fair territory after mm-hmm. she knew she was out. And so an argument could be made that she intentionally did it. Unfortunately, that's not in the rules in that way. So what it really comes down to for me, and this I'm disagreeing with some of the people that, you know, post very frequently in there, really comes down to me, she is absolutely out because she was, you know, she was made out at first base, and she should be guilty of interference by a runner that doesn't have status anymore. So interference by a retired runner. And the runner closest to home should be declared out as well. I have two outs on this play, the batter runner and the runner at third, both being out. And there's some support for that. And the support for that can be found in the NCAA casebook for 2024-2025 season on page 112. It's AR-1261. And we'll just go ahead and read through this one. Yeah, I believe it applies almost precisely, but with a runner on first base, the batter hits a ground ball to the second base player. They field the ball cleanly and toss it to the shortstop for the first out of the inning. As the runner is in the baseline between first and second, the shortstop attempts to throw the ball to first base to complete a double play. However, their throw hits the runner, or their attached equipment, or the actions of the base runner cause the fielder to have to alter their throw. The batter runner reaches first. Okay, so this is more a standard one. You see this one all the time, right? We're going to have a double play. In baseball, you will see the guy slide into the bag and try to kick the guy off the base. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's what we're really dealing with here. But we're dealing with the fact that a runner is about to be retired and could get in the way of a play.
Yeah, and right? Honestly, the play, even for the play we're describing, if you took second base and rotated it 90 degrees, we have the same runner coming at the same angle and the same throw going at the same angle. So we're talking.
Yeah, that's right.
This is very analogous.
Yeah, for sure. So the ruling is this. The benefit of the doubt goes to the defense, who must be allowed the opportunity to make or complete play, since the retired runners are not afforded the same protection as live runners. The base runner closest to home would be declared out if a retired runner interfered with a defender's opportunity to make a play. There are three factors here to consider, and so these apply wholeheartedly to what we've been talking about in this play and for a lot of the comments on the thing. So the first thing they have to consider, Pete, is what?
So the first factor is, does the retired runner make a legitimate attempt to not interfere with the throw? Referring to, did they slide if they were close enough to the bag, veer to get out of the way of the throwing lane, or drop or duck to avoid the thrown ball?
So in this case, the answer is absolutely not.
They did none of
that. They did the opposite of that.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, you know, they knew they would be out early on. They could have kind of been more to the out of the way, knowing that they were going to be out, but they didn't. They stayed in the way. So they certainly, whether intent and not intent, what they didn't do was intend to get out of the way.
That's right.
And so they don't meet criteria one.
Yeah, and they had a duty to do that. So, and then criteria number two, to be evaluated by the umpires to see if there's interference here. Does the defensive player intentionally try to throw at the retired runner whose actions would otherwise not impact the throw?
And no, the most direct path between 2 points is a straight line. The first base person threw directly home. So it wasn't, they didn't step into the way. They didn't throw to that to draw it. That was the throw that they needed to make. Any other throw would have been slower or not got there.
Yeah, exactly. And then the third, is it simply an errant throw? And the answer here is no. I think the throw was very much on line. Looked right. Like had it not hit the batter runner, the retired batter runner, then I think it would have been a really good throw to home. So none of those three happened. So in these three situations, the retired runner would not be charged with interference and the ball would remain live. These same three factors would apply to a batter who has struck out and is still in the batter's box when they interfere with the catcher's attempt to throw to a base runner. But essentially, this case play says you're not afforded the same protections as a live runner, And to not be called for interference, you would have to make an attempt to get out of the way, or the defense would have to throw at you intentionally, or you might have been hit by a throw, an errant throw. None of those three things happen in this case.
Right.
This girl's out, and the girl running home is out as well.
Yep, I think that is correct application of the rules. I think the case play kind of goes with that. I feel a lot of people were feeling that way, and it seemed like the vibe was, I think, maybe trying to get at some of these questions in a lot of these comments they were going to. Some people began to think about, did she have time to make that decision? Could she have done this? But the heart of the matter is, that doesn't matter.
Right.
As you said, for a couple of reasons. Just to reiterate, beat the dead horse, whatever. A retired runner does not have the same protections as a live runner. Step one. And step two, she has a duty to make some attempt to get out of the way, and she didn't do it.
Right.
So this is, I know it stinks, we all know interference can be intentional or unintentional.
And as the offensive coach, so think about this for just a second. Let's say that she did this correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say she did this correctly. So she hit the ball sharply to first base. She took her 1, 2, maybe 3 steps down the line, realized she was out, and immediately ducked and headed over toward the dugout to stay out of the way so that the first base player could throw the girl out at home.
Yeah.
That offensive coach is going to be mad.
Yeah, they are. But you know what? I feel like she could have met the criteria, though. So I'm not going to try to loophole and skirt the rules, but like, what if she had, she's out, she sees the third base person spin. If she had like ducked, kind of covered her head a little, ducked like down and out, you know, towards foul territory in this case,
and still got hit in the leg,
glanced this way, and maybe got hit in the shoulder on the way by or something.
Yeah.
I then think she meets criteria one, and it stays a live ball.
I agree. She tried to get out of the way.
It's just like my criteria when I'm doing hit by pitch,
where
when they have to make, in any of the sanctions where they have to make an effort, the ball comes fast. I'll take any effort. Did they jerk? Did they cover a little? Did they?
Right.
Something was done, given the benefit of the doubt here. You know, in this case, like I feel like the player almost was trying to not give the benefit of the doubt. Like, there's just literally nothing I can cling to.
That's right.
Defend it.
Yep. You have to call the interference because she didn't do anything at all, even a little bit. So I'm grinning over here. You guys can't see that. Listeners can't see it. But I'm reminded of one of Pete and I's summer players who really loved to get hit by a pitch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she had more hit by a pitch than anybody I've ever coached before in my life. She loved those free bases. And when we were playing USA ball or ASA ball, maybe even back in those days, kind of aging ourselves a little bit here. But she said, okay, I'll move back toward the catcher then. It's fine. You know, so she's moving along the same line as the pitch is coming in. So that it's still going to hit her, but at least she moved. And then the umpires see that. And she was smart enough to believe that the umpires see that. Savvy enough, maybe I should use that word, that the umpires would see that movement and then not yell at her and tell her she had to stay in the box. They'd award first base. So, so this one, kind of fun. Hopefully we did a decent enough job describing the video. Again, you can find the video by going to the link to the Facebook post on umpiringfastpitchsoftball.com.
Yep.
And please interact with us. If you think we've got this one wrong, you know, post a comment on there.
Yep. Yeah. And I'll post the section of the case play as well, 1261, as we read it. And then you guys can see for yourselves, maybe, as long as nobody takes the Facebook video down.
Yeah.
We'll link to it as it was.
Awesome. Well, this was fun. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, thanks. Till next time.